Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. The boys are out at AT&T Stadium getting ready for that pregame show that's coming up at 4 o'clock. Stephen Jones on The Fan earlier said they're optimistic Diggs and Guyton are going to go tonight. Troy Aikman coming up on the pregame show at 6 o'clock. I'm Gavin Dawson. Salute to you. Thanks for making us part of your day. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup at Master Control. You have Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, Eric Chiafalo on the pavilion there at
Miller
AT&T
Light
Stadium.
West Plaza.
There it is, the plaza at AT&T Stadium. And Carter Freeman is coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thethefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. How we doing today, boys? How we doing?
Excellent. Game day, right?
Yeah.
Game
is
day.
Warm enough out there for you?
Beautiful. Nice. Beautiful. Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. We got out early. Reuben had this thing set up well early, and we were out here sitting around, and it's just such a calm day and beautiful out here. Then all of a sudden we put the headsets on, and you thought we were on an America's Cup yacht. The wind started like, okay, we're about to go sailing today here in the Pacific Ocean.
Nothing like a couple of weeks ago.
And several weeks ago that was a little bit of a disaster. But no, hey, come out and see us. We're here. Eric will hug you.
Yep.
I'll ignore you, and away we go.
That looks like a great coat you have on. I'm watching the webcam right now. Is that a vest?
It's a vest. Yes. See, the great thing about it was when Jerry partnered up with Nike back in the day, Nike made some really cool cowboy stuff, and I was working for the team, so I saved all my Nike stuff.
Nice. There you go.
And then, so when I could break it out, trust me, I've got another jacket back here, because this thing is going to get dark.
Yeah.
We've been out here before when it gets
degrees.
A little windy and there's no sun. This could be a little brutal, but we're going to do fine today, I think.
Well, guys, I'm gonna say if Diggs plays, they're going to win 24-20. Cowboys get the W. I think there's some logic to it. Playing defense and running efficiently, as Brian has told you, the Bengals aren't good at stopping the run. They're not good at running. That's kryptonite, but I feel like this is the polar opposite of some of those games where you play against an opponent that you don't think is that good, but all of a sudden they're coming out with strengths that line up with your weaknesses. And I just think this Bengals team obviously has a way of losing games late. So I think this Cowboys defense, I think, is really, really rounding into form. And now, Diggs, Bland, Lewis, I mean, that's enough for me to think they're going to beat a 4-8 team tonight out there at the stadium. How do you guys see it?
Yeah, this is a situation where you're right about Diggs. And, hey, it's – trust me, I'm trying to get the information for not only our show but for the pregame show and going forward. But, there's been the last couple of weeks where they've thought Diggs is available and ready to go, and then they get up to the time where they have to go and turn in names and stuff, and then he's kind of said, nah, I don't feel good enough to do it. Maybe today's a great day not to play because of Chase on the other side. I don't think I'd want to line up and play against him either.
If I'm not 100%.
But, yeah, the thing that I really like about the Cowboys is I think defensively they have gotten better. Their pass rush has gotten better. Osa, Mozzie Smith, they've done some things that have been a little bit different up front than what we saw earlier in the season. Cincinnati struggles that way. But the thing I think Dallas will be able to do in this game, load that run up. And if it's, this team is when opponents rush the ball against Cincinnati 30 or more times, Cincinnati's 1-5. This is not keeping me from saying, Rico Dowdle, Ezekiel Elliott, whoever can carry the football, jet sweeps, whatever, try and run the football against these guys. See if you could get to that 30 threshold number and keep that Cincinnati offense off the field.
Yeah.
Make, Dallas is one of these teams anyway with the way that Cooper Rush plays. Mm-hmm. They have to drive the ball. They don't make any real explosive plays. So they have to kind of just drive. And then kick field goals. But you have a couple, you have two or three drives that turn into points, but they're 6-7 minute drives. I know it's asking a lot, but the Cincinnati defense has kind of proven that they can't handle that. They got one pass rusher, and their best linebacker's not playing because of an injury. So there goes some of their run defense. And my plan is to see how many carries that these running backs for the Cowboys can get and how well your offensive line, who has done a better job run blocking the last couple of weeks, how they get that done.
Well, and it's going to help you be able to sustain drives, because I think I'm at the point now, and I'm going to say this, and the defense will come out and lay an egg. But I feel very confident week in and week out you're going to have a defense that keeps you in a football game. They've been doing that. Even in the first half against Philly, the first half against Houston, the problem was when you get into the second half of the game, Cooper Rush and the offense are going three and out, three and out, three and out. They get exhausted, and then they break and fold in the second half and allow some big chunk plays. So you've got to avoid a track meet. You can't be like with these Baltimore-Cincinnati games. We're going like Pittsburgh-Cincinnati where all of a sudden it's 41-38. That's not the formula for victory. I think defensively, you're feeling good about what you have on that side of the ball. The ability to get after Joe Burrow, rush the passer, the turnovers are starting to come. If you can get Diggs back and you've got all three of your corners, Jordan Lewis, you can argue, is your 2024 defensive MVP. Now you've had your three best guys for the first time all season. I like that for the Cowboys, but it will be all about, can you stay ahead of the chains? Can you stack up first downs? Can you go ahead and shorten the football game, limit the amount of times Joe Burrow can touch the football? If you limit some big plays on defense, maybe you can get a special teams touchdown, win the turnover battle. It's kind of been the formula for them the last couple of games. But I do think it's really all about how does the offense perform. I know Cincinnati's got a bad defense, but still, to your point, there isn't any type of explosiveness from this offense whatsoever. So can they dirty this thing up, and then can they finish drives?
Amen.
Because field goals are not going to beat Joe Burrow in this Bengals offense.
Yeah, you got to finish those drives. The Bengals offense in the red zone's dynamite. And for
best
as good
the
as the
league.
Cowboys defense is, I mean, the Burrow overcomes good defenses that put pressure on him. Like, he gets pressured all the time, and he figures out a way to still put up a bunch of points. So I'm not confident at all that the Cowboys will be able to hang with them and score enough points, because for as good as the Cowboys defense has been playing, and I'm hopeful they'll play great tonight, I just don't think you're keeping them under 24 points for sure. And they hit 30 like it's really nothing oftentimes. So unless you're getting one of these Washington Commander, you got special teams, big plays, and defense, defenses forcing big-time turnovers, I just don't see how the Cowboys' offense can keep up with them.
That's good sobering perspective there from Eric Chiafalo, who is with Zach and former NFL scout Brian Broaddus at AT&T Stadium. SMU and Texas go down, but Mustangs now set to take on Penn State, getting the nod over Bama due to being undefeated in conference play, only losses being to ranked teams. My question for you guys, do you believe because it was close that they have what it takes right now to play against the bigger schools? Could they actually make a run at this?
I mean, I'm not a believer in Penn State. Penn State did play a good game against Oregon. They played better than I expected. But James Franklin, now, hey, you could say Penn State has
he's kind of a hateable guy.
More talent. Yeah, he is. Like, he's just not likable. There's always some kind of complaining. I'm arguing with fans. I'm upset that Oregon's band's playing while I'm doing a press conference. I'm going to complain that it's a JV-like setup.
Whatever.
He's just a bit of a bum to me. I think SMU absolutely, because of Kevin Jennings, and you saw it. Kevin Jennings was brilliant. I do think the committee might have leaned Alabama if it weren't for they lose on a game-winning field goal as time expires. They made that thing close, but they made the right decision, leaving Alabama out. Thank goodness SMU stayed. I think the weather is probably what really could screw the ponies in this one. That could be snowy. It's going to be freezing. That might be why you lean Penn State, but I think absolutely they're good enough to go in and beat a Penn State team.
Good thing for SMU, this is going to be 11 a.m. kick.
This
is not going to be a whiteout nighttime debauchery. So that is certainly going to work in their favor. But yeah, going on the road and doing something like that is that'll be super, super tough. But I am glad that they kept it close enough. And Jennings was, oh my gosh,
he's awesome,
outstanding.
South Oak Cliff,
incredible talent there, But I'll tell you what, and I think that Heggie and Mike and them were right earlier driving in, listening to them. I think SMU, that stage was a little big for them, that ACC championship game. And now you're going to a place that's legendary for their crowd noise, you know, the atmosphere and all that. Maybe that ACC game got that out of them, that little bit of stage fright that they might have had.
It was a nice kind of welcome to the big boys a little
bit. I could not imagine a worse start for SMU in that ACC championship game. And what happens if you get in that, and I've seen enough Penn State film that, to me, that's not the most explosive offense. And the one thing is, I hope the weather doesn't turn into a factor that limits SMU's offense.
So the Longhorns fall to 5. Thank you for that, Brian Broaddus.
Yeah.
They'll take on that Clemson team and try to have a reckoning here for the great state. But they would advance to play Arizona State. How do you guys like the Longhorns' path here? Can they avoid Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, I'm
They're
happy.
Set up nicely.
It is set up nicely. I mean, really, Penn State and Texas, I think, might have the best setup to at least get to the semifinal. It laid out very nicely for Penn State because now you are playing SMU, who I think some people are writing off. I know we're not. And then you get Boise State if they win to get to the semifinal. Texas and Clemson, look, Clemson's kind of gotten right here. Kate Klubnik's playing better football. This is going to be fun. It's a rematch of 2020 Austin Westlake versus Southlake Carroll when Klubnik was winning a state championship for Westlake and Quinn Ewers was with the Carroll Dragons. So it's cool that you have the two Texas quarterback connection here, and Cade's going back home to Austin to play against Texas where he played high school football. But I like it. I think Texas will be favored big. They're already favored by 11 against Clemson. They'll be favored big against Arizona State. And if they can stop the run against Arizona State defensively, I mean, Arizona State's a fun team, and they execute very, very well, but I do think Texas is better than both of them. They should be able to get to the semifinal.
I tell you what, I want nothing to do with Arizona State. I mean, to me, when you watch Arizona State play, that rushing attack is legitimate, and the physicality that they play with is legitimate there. So, as you started the season, it was kind of like, you know, Arizona State was not even picked to be there near the bottom of the Big 12. And then all of a sudden, though, this Kenny Dillingham, the coach there, but man, they do a great job of running the football with their backs and the physicality that they play with. So, yeah, when you play Arizona State, you got to bring your big boy pants. Texas has proven that they could play some good run defense if they have to, but Arizona State, I think, is a different animal. I think that game will be a lot closer than people think if they get there.
You guys think McCarthy's going to take a page out of Kenny Dillingham's book in the pregame speech, No Pity for the Kitty tonight, as you go and take on
no
the Bengals?
No pity for the kitty, I agree, the yeah. Kitty. Why
That's
not?
A great point, Chief.
Yeah.
Okay, so much going on. Do we need to get a college football bracket together? Doesn't that sound fun?
Ooh, that would be fun.
That would be fun. Yeah absolutely. Yeah.
Get some dough in there. Yeah. I love it when we have something going around the office like that. Okay, incredible flurry from the Stars last night, guys. How about that? Rupe Hintz getting it going in the third period there with the goal, and then two from Harley, and the Stars win against Calgary 6-2.
Quality victory last night for the Stars. That game was kind of in the balance a little bit, and then, as you mentioned, though, they were able to kind of do some things in the third. So just got to kind of keep finding a way to getting those points, though, and stacking them up. And you know, and they're so competitive, though, against these really good teams.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's against the teams you feel like that they should just go ahead and mop the floor with, that they're not getting that done in that way.
And so shout out to Otter, man. He's still undefeated at home this year.
There you go. Yeah,
wow,
absolutely.
What a beast. All right. They'll host Nashville on Thursday. Mavs winning ways continue Saturday in Toronto. Huge NBA Cup game tomorrow. They're going to be at OKC. And obviously, like, you know, the standings matter, you know, trying to get home court, scouting how the Mavs match up, all of that is important. I mean, this is where the NBA Cup can get kind of fun too, right?
Well, we're actually taking a notice in it, I think, because the Mavs, I mean, but we would take notice of a matchup against Oklahoma City anyway. Yeah. But the fact that they're playing for something right now is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, put a little something extra on it. But I think I'm still more interested in how they match up with OKC, Eric.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's really the big thing. Like, you have kind of lurking in the shadows the idea that, yes, you could win this cup, but it's less about that and more about projecting out to what's to come in the postseason. And this is probably an sort of a inevitable matchup the rematch with OKC, and they spent their offseason trying to build a team that could compete with you a little bit more. And they're playing outstanding basketball.
Yeah, they beat OKC early in the season without Luka.
Right.
Sure did. So that just shows you, know, with the full lineup, I'll be interested to see how that matches.
Got to take care of the basketball. I mean, last year they were outstanding at forcing the steals.
Yeah.
That was like one of the big things in the matchup, was just how frisky they are defensively. But this year, even more so, with adding Caruso and stuff like that, like they are, I think they're like on pace to be the best steals team in basketball.
Yeah. Salute to Jared Sandler swinging for a cause. That was an incredible event yesterday at the Globe. I don't know, we'll check if we're getting much momentum going here at winter meetings, but Roki Sasaki officially posted, and the bidding will go through January 23rd. Rangers are currently in the middle of the road when it comes to like that international signing slot or the international pool of money that they have, but they could trade for more.
They could, absolutely, and I think that it's interesting. I mean, we talked last week about Ken Rosenthal dropping, maybe Nathaniel Lowe is a guy that they're looking to trade. What happens with Nathan Eovaldi? Does that end up gaining some steam? Does he get signed this week? I wonder if Evaldi's like, hey, guys, I kind of want to put the pressure on you. I'm not going to wait around on this Roki Sasaki thing.
Yeah.
If you want me back, you need to go ahead and get this thing done, and then, hey, maybe Sasaki comes along as well, and now you've got two good arms. But I think Evo is probably doing the right thing, where I'm not trying to wait around like some of these other pitchers did last year. I'm trying to get signed so I can get into camp on time.
Juan Soto wasn't messing around. 15 years, $765 million from the Mets. Apparently the Yankees were rude to their mom and dad to his mom and dad last year at some point. His chef and his driver apparently got thrown out of the stadium at some point, had to stand out in the rain in the Bronx.
Oh.
So I guess that was never meant to be, but just over $50 million per season. What a monster deal.
Unbelievable.
It really is. I wonder if he's going to regret that. You know, 4 or 5 years down the road, what could salaries be? What could the dollar be worth? You know, if you look at inflation and everything, I don't know if I'd want to be locking into any sort of compensation package for 15 years.
I think he's got a player opt out. Once he turns like 30, okay. I think he has an opportunity to opt out. So I guess he can kind of get a lay of the land and where the market's at. So super great deal for him ultimately.
Wow. Yeah.
But just the idea that the Mets outbid the Yankees is just phenomenal.
Something. Okay, G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. What are we doing next, Zachary?
All right, let's do a little NFL True or Fart, featuring, of course, a division rival. And is this the MVP? That's next.
Welcome back, Nation. G-Bag of the Day is coming up here at 2:30. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. I am Gavin Dawson. Troy Aikman joins the pregame tonight at 6 o'clock. The pre will start at 4. And you have Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, and Eric Chiafalo out there at AT&T Stadium getting ready for that pre. It's time now for Wolchuk to deliver another edition of NFL True or Fart.
All right, let's do it. Take it away, Robert Flores.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or far, false, Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
Okay, and let's carry over from Marshawn to a Cowboys running back, Enrico Dowdle. We are getting closer to the pregame show here as we are hanging out the Miller Lite West Plaza. Come by, say hello to us. Eric Chiafalo, Rico Dowdle, for the second week in a row, is going to have over 100 yards rushing, true or fart?
Ooh, I will go ultimately fart on that. I do think that Mike will get a little bit nervous about running the ball if the scoreboard gets out of hand, and I do expect the Bengals to be putting up some points, and so Mike will be chasing those points via Cooper Rush for 4 air yards an attempt.
Yeah, he realizes, though, he can't keep up, so the only way he has a chance to win this game is to run this football and be as patient as he can. I'm going to say true. 100 yards tonight for Rico Dowdle.
Yeah, I think you have to be coming into this game thinking we are going to run it and run it and run it some more, and our defense will keep us relatively close, and we'll try to make a flurry in the fourth quarter. So, you know, I think he's going to get close to 5 an attempt or so I'm going true on that. We'll check.
I love it. I hope it's true. I think if it's true, they win the game. But I'm going to lean fart. I think you nailed it there, Eric. I think Mike can't help himself. This thing's going to start to get, even if they're down like a touchdown, he's thinking, oh, my God, I've got to keep pace for throwing the football. We saw 1 week where he really stayed with Rico. I don't know that I can count on it for sure.
Well, that's just another reason then why you need to make a coaching decision at the end of the year.
Any chance to just take a shot at Mike McCarthy? Here we go. Here's Brian.
It's about knowing your team.
But I agree with you on that.
It's about trying to find a way to win the game.
Is that how your gun sounds?
Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew. It's like a blaster from Star Wars. Yeah. All right, General.
Yeah.
True or fart, it's the Minnesota Vikings, not the Eagles, not the Packers, that are the biggest threat to the Lions in the AFC.
Oh, no, I would have to still say the Eagles. You know, they just have a track record of having a winning formula. You know, I think they got the perfect mix, and I'm just not going to, you know, bet on Sam Darnold to win playoff games. I'll say fart.
Yeah, I think that's an astute fart by you there, Dawson. I'll double down on it. I if it's the Eagles, I'd throw the Packers in there team that I think even like more it. So than the Vikings that pose that threat.
Yeah, that is a big fart right there. I think to me that, you know, when you the Eagles now, I think, are built to play how they need to. They're protecting their quarterback. Their defense is much better in the secondary. That was a liability last year. And this ability to run the football with this guy, I think, makes them really a problem for a lot of teams.
And 5 touchdowns yesterday for Sam Darnold. And guys,
Falcons.
Not giving him any
Falcons.
Credit. Any credit.
Yeah. I'd give anything to play the Falcons next week, along with the Saints after that, you know. Those early season games
Eagles
where they made
and Xavier Leggett drop touchdown away from losing that game. But no, it's a big smelly fart. I agree. I still think it's the Packers, even over the Eagles. But I would go Packers and Eagles, and then I would go Vikings because I still, for whatever reason, for Sam Darnold, and he's having a hell of a year, I still just don't overly trust him. I think this is kind of like a Case Keenum run. It's like a magical season, and then he's going to go play somewhere else, and he'll come back down to earth. All right, true or fart, game of the day yesterday was Bills and Rams. Josh Allen, if you hadn't already, he sealed the deal for your NFL MVP.
Yeah, I'll go true on that. He's definitely the MVP.
Even in a loss.
Even in a loss.
He did everything he could.
I mean, what, 6 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? The dude's been a total super monster all season long. And it's just like, if it's not him, who is it? Like,
how about the runner at Philly?
Yeah, I mean, you could go offensive player of the year there.
You know what?
I can't go MVP there. I think Dick Fangio's their MVP.
This is the one time that I want to say that's fart, because I kind of feel like that we might be in an era now where writers are more in tune of maybe giving it to the guy who's meant the most to his team. I know Buffalo is doing a great job with this quarterback, but you look at what the difference that is made for Philly now. And I will say, you know, no, that's a fart.
By the way, I want a fart on your game of the day. I was kind of partial to that Saints-Giants contest. That was thrilling.
Fair. Absolutely.
Did you enjoy the Graham Gano blocked field goal? Is that what you're saying? Still our special teams play once again?
I love that. Yeah, that was riveting. Yeah. Interesting.
I think they clipped over from red zone 2 or 3 times. but no, I'm gonna say Saquon has a shot here because he might break the record.
That's what I'm thinking too.
The breaking the record, I think, would be the only way. That
might
it can
do it against the Cowboys.
That would be fascinating if he broke the record. I think they're going to sit him though the final week of the season. I think they're going to have this thing all locked up.
So he just needs $125 in the
maybe
next 4.
If they're playing for the one seed.
They're playing for
maybe
the one seed, man. There's a lot of teams in this NFC that have to keep playing here.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Speaking of that, when we talk about home field advantage, with the Bills' loss yesterday, Kansas City has locked up home field in the AFC. True or fart, Gavin Dawson?
I'm going to say true. I'm going to have to look at their schedule here real quick. They are very vulnerable, though. I think they are the best team, but they're also the luckiest team in the NFL right now. But that is true.
I think they got some pretty wicked games coming up. I know the Lions and the Bills play, I think, here coming up. Really, really soon. So
Chiefs have Browns, Texans, Steelers, and Broncos to close it down. And
Broncos might be playing for something there at the end.
Broncos are a tough team. It's tough out.
Good defense. You know, divisional game. I could see them losing that easily if they
beat them last year.
Bills actually have the Lions this Sunday.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
going to
be an incredible game. Yep. And then they get the Patriots, the Jets, and the Patriots again.
How about that possible
games.
Super Bowl preview? Bills-Lions this weekend?
For sure it is.
That's
fun. Yeah,
that
the
is
MVP
fun.
Is Josh Allen versus Jared Goff.
Love it. Okay, and then finally, true or fart, last one here. No one wants to see the L.A. Rams in the NFC come playoff time. They are the team that possibly could be the dark horse.
Ooh, wow, this is shaping up like last season a little
bit. It is, right?
And even then, what did Detroit do? They didn't play with their food. They sent them home, right? It was a tight game.
It was very close.
24-23,
it came down to the final possession.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, that's not a team because we know how unhealthy they've been throughout the year, so like their record doesn't really speak to who they actually are. Yesterday was a great example of that. Oh, my gosh, Puka Nacua.
They got some skill guys, too, with the runner and then, you know, the two wide receivers and the quarterback's been out, you know. I mean,
they're no one to fool with, for sure. No. Yeah, I would say, especially because when you go comparing it down, like, who else are you even talking about in the NFC? I guess you'd be talking about the Vikings. Like, the Vikings would be a wild card.
Seattle scare you a little bit, maybe?
Seattle can be scared.
Seattle,
when they're on their game, but they also will just lose and lay an egg to some teams that you're like, what are you struggling against?
I think a team like Seattle, who's going to win that division, is absolutely pooping themselves at the idea of playing the Rams in a wild card round.
I would take
round,
Rams over Seahawks in a wild card game. I would.
Even think about the Eagles. You're the Eagles, and you're like, wow, I didn't get the one seed, so I'm playing in the first round of the playoffs, and the my gosh, Matthew Stafford and Sean McSex and Puka Nacua are coming to town?
Yeah.
That doesn't feel good, so I'm truing on this.
Thank you.
Great stuff, Will Chuck. Appreciate that. Let's go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has your G-bag of the day. I would bet against Matt Stafford, by the way.
I love it, Gavin.
Yep.
You know, I do like that segment right there, the NFL True or Fart.
Yeah.
It's one of the funniest segments that we do, in my opinion, just because there's real hard-hitting, you know, football facts and opinions coming. But first you have to say, yeah, man, I'm going to fart on that because Dick Fangio on the defense.
I love it, Lucius. You get it.
Fart on it because he has so much experience at the line, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a fart. Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah.
That's a big stinky one.
Football flash ones.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious, bro. All right, let's see here. Where we last left off, I wasn't here, but I believe it was the kids that were caught by the door camera talking about their mom's colonoscopy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Daughter was talking about her mom's colonoscopy, which everybody should go get.
Absolutely.
45 is the new age.
Yeah, I'm gonna get mine, bro. I'm gonna get mine, and I want all my blood work. I want everything done.
Yep.
So I can get a clean bill of health.
Lucius, you'll feel so clean after the procedure to get, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, yeah. Won't he make you clean?
Yeah, make you clean.
Inside, won't he make you clean? All right, that's the church song. And it is a church day. Well, yesterday was. Here's our winner right here. Doorbell camera catches some concerned kids talking about their moms prepping for a colonoscopy.
One of them is home, but she's gonna poop like crazy, okay? Mm. No, I'm not. Stop. It's not funny. She has to get surgery when it's over. It's not funny
when it's
at all.
Over.
So you can't play? Well, you can ask.
I can
ask.
Cut to the chase here.
Well, I can't stop Latin.
Latin. She started already. Oh, it's bad.
The dude's like, I don't care about any of that. Can you play or not?
Yes, that is the highlight to me right there. I don't care about your mom pooping her guts out. Can you come outside and play?
Not funny.
I got to be back home by 4.
Yeah. That's a pretty strong laxative you have to take, Brian.
Oh, my gosh. It's these pills and then this powdered mix you drink. And then every 30 minutes, you have to drink it until you're completely done with the bottle. And so, but when you're done with it, you're like, my gosh, I feel refreshed. And then the next day, but you don't feel anything. It's amazing. They put you on that table and they say, okay, count to 10 backwards and boom, you're asleep. Next thing you know, you're waking up talking to the doctor.
I would argue those are the greatest 10 seconds a human being can experience. Those 10 seconds from them pumping whatever that is in your system, and then you just slowly drifting off into oblivion.
Hell, the best words is when the doctor stands there and says, hey, nothing's wrong with you. Everything's good.
Yeah,
and you're like,
that's the good stuff.
But you're all like loopy and stuff like that. And you're like, oh, thanks for the skill, doc. You're the best. You know, you're like talking about
hey, pooping every 30 minutes. That sounds like there could be some chafing situations going on back there.
It's gotta drinking. Have wipes. The Lucius, it's the drinking it every 30 minutes. The pooping comes, at every, 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
see?
It's crazy. Like, you're like, oh, my gosh, got to go.
At some point, you're, folding up some tissue and putting it back there just to get some relief. God, my cheeks.
Oh, my God.
Leaving it in there as a buffer for a few minutes.
It stings. Yeah, okay, I get it.
Might just go squat in the shower, to be honest.
Sorry. Yeah, that way you can just be washing it out. Yeah.
It's our Kansas coach all over again.
Let's go ahead and speak of the Kansas coach. It's called a college game day.
Oh!
And we're talking to Coach Kirby Smart and the UT coach Sark.
Yes.
And Nick Saban calls cap on the coaches.
Play in a rematch, how do you balance maybe some adjustments you want to make as opposed to anticipating what adjustments they might make?
I think that's a great question. I don't think you overthink it. I think you try to do simple better. Block tackle is what it comes down to. Everybody wants to make it about the scheme, but a lot of times it comes down to the players, not the scheme.
No, I think hit the nail on the head. You know, we always use the analogy. We never want to get paralysis by analysis. You overanalyze, then your players aren't performing the way they can play. So take in the information, then you try to prepare them to go play.
Yeah, well, I think they're both bullshitting us, but.
Gosh, that was amazing.
He's so good on that show now. Yeah.
Just zero Fs.
I can't wait till radio allows this, man.
Yeah. Please, man.
Yeah.
Please. Boy, you want to see me shine?
Yeah.
I can cuss like a sailor, and I know where to put it at, boy. I'll tell you. I know where to put it.
I think Blake can go too.
No, Blake.
I don't think he would have any idea that he's cussing. He's just talking.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could say that. Yeah. Let's go to Sacramento Kings head coach, Mr. Mike Brown.
Mm.
He wants his team to be more methodical.
We just need to be methodical by stacking or playing the right way, possession after possession, after possession, after possession, after possession, after possession, after possession, after possession. After possession, 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 after possession. You guys got what I'm saying.
At what point do you got
your coach?
You're like, Coach, are you glitching right now? Is everything okay?
How about transcribing that, having to type that out?
How many possessions was that? That was 30 possessions, wasn't it?
Gosh, first half of a game.
You get in trouble, you got to write the same sentence over and over.
That is a coach at the height of frustration. He's been talking about this with his team.
Yeah.
He's been trying to get it through their heads, and the only way he can do it is if he just puts himself on a loop, and there you go, fellas. Freaking get it through your skulls.
That is hilarious, bro. Poor guy. Let's see. Yesterday was a church day. I pray that you got your blessing. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. I watched you. I streamed you early in the morning. Yes, I did. Get well, TD Jakes. And where's Robert Tilton?
Oops.
Where are you, Robert Tilton? Where's Cat Stacks? Where's Robert Tilton and Cat Stacks? Where are you guys? This preacher right here, he has some smoke for sassy men in his congregation. Sassy men?
There's something wrong in our church. Because the altos ain't talking to the sopranos because they all messing with the same musician. And they don't understand the altos and sopranos are mad at each other, but he's in love with a tenor. I told the men in my church, I want you to stop shopping at Baby Gap. Those pants are too small. You look like a little boy. I need you to get something that tells me you want a woman. Now, y'all are mad. I'm going to preach. You ain't got to invite me back. I got my own church.
Yeah, you what?
Well, this is a male purse. No, that is a woman's pocketbook. And I want to know why you have a pocketbook. Because my mother had one, but my daddy never carried a pocketbook. Men of God, talk back to me. What man wants to carry a pocketbook?
And he's a guest pastor. Like, yeah, you tripping, bro.
Yeah.
Carrying all this money for the plate in his pocketbook here, sir.
Do that in your place. Don't do that over here.
Yes, sir.
They tripping. And one more right here just to cap it off. I've never heard of this phrase.
Some folk come to church dry. I come lubricated in Jesus. I come.
Jeez, bro.
The lubricated.
Yes. Painted that picture.
Get you ready for anything, I suppose.
I guess it was the abs.
I come lubricated in Jesus. I come.
The devil just be slipping off me.
The sassy men perked up, though. Okay, we got a daughter on the ring cam. She's going to poop like crazy. We got college game day with Kirby Smart. Nick Saban says they're both bull-essing us. Possession after possession with Mike Brown. Preacher has some smoke for the sassy men. Some folk come to church dry. A champ and four challengers.
Just you reading it, bro.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Nick Saban here for my vote.
How about give me the you, champ.
G? Yep. Okay, we're tied at one. Lucius?
Did you see Wee Wee James's joke on the Fantex? Said he woke up in the middle of this colonoscopy and it literally scared the S out of him. I'm going to go with Nick Saban as well. Mike Brown, I guess. I don't know. Hell, I don't know.
We're still tied at one, Chief.
I'm an undecided voter.
Well, Chuck.
Oh, man, this one's tough. I think I'm just going to stick with the champ.
All right, Brian.
I'm going to go with Nick Saban.
All right, we're tied at two. That means you want to jump onto at GBagNation on X. That's the Twitter account. We'll create an Insta poll that will allow you to vote. All of our handles are in the bio there, at GBagNation on X. If you could follow us all when you get there, that would be outstanding. Where are we going next, Eric?
Best of the weekend, a Sandlot event for the ages. Atolo wants a G-Bag segment to be put on the chopping block. I got to get y'all's thoughts on this. And Derek Holland's Home Aquarium next in the nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm Gavin Dawson. Out at AT&T Stadium, you have former NFL scout Brian Broaddus. You have Zach Wolchuk, who hosts the post-game show, and pre-game show host Eric Chiafalo, and here's the Chief of the Best of the Weekend.
Man, what an awesome weekend it was. I mean, between the college football, the festivities, the holiday stuff going down, nice little team Christmas party there Saturday night. That was outstanding. A truly, truly awesome time. And then yesterday, getting to close down the weekend at Globe Life Field for Jared Sandler's Sandlot Charity event, which is always just a total, total dong ball right there out of the park.
Big time dong ball.
And it was great. Really, really enjoyed every single second of it. And I had a couple of takeaways at the end of the proceedings. And shout out to Brian Sykes, by the way.
Yes.
Great dude. And can't wait to party with him Saturday out at Martin House. We got our party going on as well next weekend. This is amazing.
It's a great time of year, dude. I mean, between high stakes football and fantastic partying and fellowshipping with the Tolos and with you guys, man, this is a great time. Brian Sykes bidding on the table, winning it, bringing his buddy and his little kids to the.
They had a blast with Drew Pearson.
Oh, dude, Drew Pearson.
Drew Pearson was awesome. Drew Pearson made it. Like, we had it last year. Remember, Drew was looking for a place to sit.
Sat down.
I'm like, yelled, "Hey, Drew!"
Started, everyone's wearing the Super Bowl ring. We're taking pictures. Hall of Fame ring.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome time.
Yeah, I mean, the kids were putting on the Drew Pearson Hall of Fame ring and the Super Bowl ring and having themselves a great time. So that was awesome. And then at the end, they're big baseball fans. And I had told them, like, hey, if there's somebody you want to meet, like, we'll go make sure we do that. Well, they didn't realize Jonah Heim was there until right there at the end. I'm like, oh, crap, yeah, Jonah Heim is here.
Yeah.
So I ran over to where he was, and he was clearly packing up. Like, he's got his kids with us. He's in parenting mode. He's like, I'm trying to get these kids home to sleep. I know that face. I saw that face.
Yeah.
But I was stuck between, okay, I'm trying to hook these kids up to make sure that, like, it is as epic of an experience for them as possible. So I'm trying to tee up this opportunity for the kids to get a little baseball sign, take a picture with them. And I ended up walking up to Jonah Heiman, and he was clearly trying to leave with his kids. He's got bags in hands, wife's pushing the stroller.
Oh,
and I'm like, yo, Mr. Heim, do you mind for these kids right here? You had to put his stuff down. And he handled it like a champ. He was super, super nice. And the kids loved it.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure they got the experience. But I was also like, I might be a bit of a bleep hole. You know?
Jonah's a good dude. I think if it wasn't for the kids, then maybe it would have been a bleep.
If I just pull out my baseball and was
Mr. anything Heim. For the kids, I feel like it's okay. Like, it's not for me. It's for the kids. It's for the youth.
Speaking of not for me, I got pulled aside. Broaddus was in the mix of this.
I was.
Because there was the lovely couple that bid on Sean and RJ's table. It's actually the wife in the relationship that's the big Tolo. The husband's like a trauma surgeon.
Surgeon. Wow. Yeah.
He's just dialed all the time. And so, but it's the wifey that was a big Tolo. So they call me over, and she had a suggestion for me.
Yeah.
And I knew this was like, uh-oh. This is probably not going to be a good one. This is going to be more critique than anything, you know, more con than pro.
It's constructive criticism.
So, yeah, so I walk over, and can you guess the segment that this mom wishes was not a part of our – it wasn't TD Tuesday.
Restroom Revelations.
Restroom Revelations was the one that she wanted me to punt on in perpetuity.
Yeah.
And what was my response, Broaddus?
No, man, but thank you very much for listening. We love you. Continuing toloing, you're the best. You know, maybe next year you could sponsor our table. You know, we'll do better. You know, that kind of thing.
But I said agree to disagree, but I respect your opinion.
Yeah,
you know,
you did. You were nice about it.
I was nice about it.
She was nice about it too.
But I was like, she wants restroom revelations to be gone, you know. So I don't know how many other moms want that. But I think the daddy's like that one,
I think
dude.
It's a great time for us to get open, vulnerable.
It was funny though. The doctor husband, he doesn't even listen. He has no idea what we're even talking
no
about.
Clue.
He's like, this is interesting. Oh, like, yeah.
Would it be great if he started defending you? Like, it's actually my favorite segment, honey. I have no idea what it is, but you're wrong.
It's funny because then she started talking about all the pee bottles that we were discussing last week. I'm like,
she does listen.
Yeah. It wasn't a channel changer for you.
No.
So hopefully we don't have to completely punt on restroom revelations. But, it was a truly awesome time last night. And then, you know, Dutch is there. At one point, I hear a drunken RJ Choppy in the background talking to Derek Holland, and the question he says is, wait, you have a stingray? To which Dutch responded, I had three, but one got killed. And then that's all I heard from the eavesdropping, and so I'm left with more questions. We know Dutch has an incredible aquarium at his house. I guess he's added a stingray to that thing, perhaps a few, and then, I don't know, was there infighting? Do stingrays attack each other?
That's a good question.
Because I'm trying to figure out how one got killed.
Fascinating.
It's not like one died, one got killed. That was the
Is that the thing that got Steve Irvin?
Is that the
stingray Irwin. Got him?
Yeah,
Irvin,
yeah.
Irvin? Did I say it wrong?
Yeah, the crocodile.
Irvin.
Barb.
You made him Irvin. Criminy, mate.
You made him Michael Irvin's.
I just knew the dude family. Like tangled with a stingray.
Yeah, he did.
He survived like 20-foot crocodiles and got a stingray got him.
Yeah, I know. It is a little crazy that happened, but I guess Dutch has a handful of.
I thought it was a Corvette
stingrays.
You were talking about.
I was thinking the boat, stingray.
Yeah,
the boat.
Yeah.
I guess it is Dutch, so all probably apply.
I was thinking
one
car.
One got killed. It wasn't the boat.
And he said I had three, and then one died. I went, okay,
right.
What else? And then now we're talking about a fish, right?
Yeah, we're talking about a real.
Is this a fish? Is a stingray considered a fish?
Yeah.
What?
Okay. Yeah, and it looks like they don't fight in public, but in an aquarium or in an enclosure, they can get territorial and fight each other.
Okay.
I would like to just shout out two sportsmen that just had some of the lowest lights I've seen in a while when it comes to professional sports. You had the moment with Kadarius Toney, who is actually on the Browns, breaking news. I don't know how many people actually knew that, but he, on special teams, he had a fair catch. He goes to fair catch the punt, and of course he muffs it, and then the Steelers recover. And then there was another point where he gets flagged for taunting. The team's down multiple scores. He gets flagged for taunting. So the return he just had was negated in a huge way. And that was the Kadarius Toney Sunday. And then who was the defender? Who was the defender for the Falcons who got absolutely lost in translation and coverage when Justin Jefferson had a huge touchdown? This defender
he
falls down and then he gets put in the spin cycle. He thinks the ball's going right when it's really going left into the hands of a wide open Justin Jefferson, and Jefferson just backpedals into the end zone. It's like a 50 plus yard touchdown play. Look at this guy, Broadus. He's as lost as you've ever seen.
Oh, it was D. Alford.
D. Alford, watch him. He's like, oh, I don't know where I'm going, and the play went viral because it has to be the worst coverage of all time for somebody who's being paid professionally to do it. But that's just what the Falcons.
You didn't see any of those early 2000 Cowboy teams I was involved with.
That's probably
there was kind of some quality covering going on there.
From incompetence to greatness, I would like to just shout out once again Puka Nacua, the toe tapper there.
He is.
Versus the
215
Bills.
Players, and he wasn't one of them.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. And then Brock Bowers, I mean, he's constantly unbelievable this season as a rookie tight end, but he had a grab over the middle that was just a one-handed snag while he had the defender all over his back. Yeah. I mean, watch this play right here. He's coming over the middle. The defender's great coverage, and he just reaches his arm out like he's a superhuman.
He's
dude.
Everything we thought Kyle Pitts was going to be.
Yes. Yes.
He was. We were wrong. We were like, this was Kyle Pitts was everybody thought was going to be this guy, but this Brock Bowers is who Kyle Pitts should
He's
be.
He's an unreal freak, and right now I believe the Raiders have the number one pick.
They do. And
so
Shedeur
Sanders, Brock Bowers.
I saw Prime did a whole deal with Antonio Pierce. They were together for some event, and he said, just go ahead and make sure you draft those Sanders boys. And both of them were there. So I think that's lining up pretty nicely for Shedeur and Shiloh, even both of them, to be Vegas Raiders next year.
Shedeur Sanders to Brock Bowers, touchdown. That's on the horizon.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
There he goes. We'll have NFL news today coming up next. Saban won, by the way, with 69% of the vote there on your G-Bag of the Day competition. Okay, where are we going next, Wolchuk?
All right, you said let's do NFL news of the day. Brady on Bill Belichick coaching college. We got some frustrated wide receivers. That's next.